Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I know it's kind of a cruddy morning, but it is so nice in here. So I'm glad that you're with us. I'm glad that you're spending time with your sisters and brothers and all of us. Whether you're here in the church, you're joining us online, it is good for us to be together as God's children, adding our prayer and our praise and our thanksgiving. We continue this green time after the Epiphany as we wait until the beginning of Lent. And so I'm glad that you're with us. Next week, at all of our services, we will be installing the new church council. So I hope that you're there to pray for those people and to give thanks for their willingness to serve. Next Sunday is also the first Sunday in February. So next week, donuts. Enough said. There you go. Join us. Wednesday, February 14th. Most of you think of that as Valentine's Day. This year, we get to also think of it as Ash Wednesday. It is the first day in our season of Lent, and I invite you to join us for Ash Wednesday services, 7 p.m. that evening, Wednesday, the 14th of February, where we will kick off our Lenten season. Also this year, we will then have Wednesday services, midweek Lenten services on the Wednesdays following Ash Wednesday. And this year, at those 7 p.m. services, we're actually going to be looking at the stained glass windows that are concerning the prophets of the Old Testament. The prophets themselves, some of the symbols that are found above and all the rest of that. And I hope that you come so that we can learn together a little bit about those prophets, their message to their audience and to us, and how it is that we can use their inspiration in our lives. Join us then for midweek Lent services. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through it. But we've gathered this morning so that we might be in worship together. So let us continue that worship by singing our gathering song, My Life is in You. Let us rise and sing together.
My life is in You.
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Savior. Bring wholeness to all that is broken and speak truth to us in our confusion, that all creation will see and know your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Today, the first lesson comes from Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning at the 15th verse. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God any more, or ever again see this great fire, I will die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at the first verse. "Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge. But anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and from whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So, by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience, when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in the first chapter. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of our Lord. The congregation may be seated, but I would love to invite any children to come on forward. Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys? You doing all right? Okay. Oh, yeah. We just heard in the gospel story that when Jesus went to Capernaum, he showed up in church. That's kind of cool, huh? Would it not be cool if you came and all of a sudden Jesus showed up in church? I like the look on your face. I think it would be great, you know, because there he is. It's Jesus. and he could teach us things, and he could show us things, and it would be wonderful. All right? The people who were in church with Jesus there in Capernaum, they sat there, listened. They were amazed at what he was teaching them. They thought he was fantastic, and they told everybody they knew all about it. The truth is, Jesus is here, even right now. Right? And I'm not just saying, yeah, you can go look at the stained glass window that's supposed to be him. That's not it. Jesus is here. Jesus is here because where two or three of us are gathered together, Jesus promises to be with us. Jesus is here because we listened to the word from God, and that gives us the presence of Jesus. Jesus is here when we're going to come for that Holy Communion where his body and blood are in, with, and under bread and wine. Jesus is here. And so we can get excited about the things we heard from that gospel story. We can get excited about spending time with the people around us. And then we can go out and tell people just how cool it was. You see, everybody who was there with Jesus at Church Burnham, we're just like them. We get to meet Jesus today. Let's remember that and let's share that. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for being part of us. Help us, Lord, now to share your goodness and tell your stories. Help us to be astounded. Help us to be excited. And help us to follow you as you would have us. We thank you for the day, Lord. Amen. Thank you for being here. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in today's gospel story, we meet another man who comes into Jesus' life, all right? Now, the man we meet today isn't Philip or Nathaniel. It's not Simon or Andrew or James or John. In fact, this man confronts Jesus as he is teaching in that synagogue, and he confronts Jesus by asking an amazing question. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? What have you to do with us? That's a great question. Now, first things first. As the story begins, Jesus and his disciples travel to Capernaum, and on Sabbath, Jesus goes into the synagogue and he teaches. Now, as we read the Gospels, we discover that that's a real common thing for Jesus to do. Jesus wants to connect with the people, and as a Jew, going to synagogue is as normal and ordinary as you can get. It's like us going to a different church when you're off on vacation. So Jesus enters the synagogue in Capernaum, and he teaches, and the gospel tells us that he astounds the gathered congregation. Why? It's a good question. Mark says Jesus taught as one having authority. Now, there are lots of commentators that I have read who tell us that typical of synagogue teaching in Jesus' day would have been filled with quotes from famous rabbis and various Midrash and Talmud. They would have said, well, Rabbi Hillel says this, and Rabbi Kushner says this, but Rabbi so-and-so says this, and so here we are. It seems, though, that Jesus spoke from his heart, and he didn't bother quoting anyone else. Jesus spoke from his heart to the hearts of the audience. He taught of God's love for them and for all creation. He taught of our need to help and our need to serve those who are without. Jesus saw the audience and he spoke to them where they were and astounded them. This was new teaching. And that didn't just mean that it was novel or it was recent. This was unprecedented. That's the kind of new we're talking about. This Jesus saw them, knew them, loved them, and then called them to lives of love and service. What have you to do with us, indeed? So now into this crowd of astounded people enters this man that we meet. This man, Mark tells us, has an unclean spirit and he interrupts everything. Out of this crowd of people falling all over each other to speak to Jesus and to thank him for being there, comes a man who is yelling at Jesus instead. Now, there are a number of ways that we can understand that unclean spirit that possesses this man. It can truly be a spirit or a demon, which is our first reaction. It also could be that he is mentally ill. It also could be that he's just that grumpy, upset, and grouchy fellow that nobody ever really wants to talk to. Regardless of how you want to interpret that unclean spirit, the question asked is still compelling. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Now, if he's just grumpy and upset, what's Jesus going to do about it? If he's mentally ill, what's Jesus going to do about it? And if he really is possessed, what's Jesus going to do about it? Well, Jesus does what Jesus does. He sees that man as a brother, a fellow child of God, and Jesus helps him. What does Jesus have to do? Jesus gets to help the man. He calms him down. He casts out that spirit. Jesus welcomes that man into the real conversation. Now, Jesus didn't invite that man to follow like he did to Philip or to Andrew. And he didn't amaze him like he did that ornery Nathaniel who was talking about what good can come out of Nazareth. Jesus saw this man and helped him. Jesus has been teaching about God's love, and now he shows that love to this man. This is the authority that the crowd begins to laud at the end of our reading. It's also what drives Jesus' fame throughout all of Galilee, which I don't really believe Jesus was all that interested in. But while Jesus may not have spoken an invitation, Jesus was still hoping that the crowd and this man would follow as children of God and go into their worlds, caring for and serving the people around them. It's what Jesus does to all of us as well. We are called, invited, encouraged to follow our Lord as he shows us how to live the love of God that comes to all of us. From the first time to the 57th time, Jesus sees us as sisters and brothers, and he shows us the powerful love of God. Then Jesus goes before us into the world, showing us those who need that same love from God through us. Sometimes they have unclean spirits. Jesus wants us to see them and help them as we are able. Sometimes they hunger for knowledge or just for lunch, and Jesus still wants us to help them as we are able. Sometimes the help we have for them becomes help for us as well, and Jesus still wants us to help as we are able. Jesus shows us the power of God's love today, from simply teaching from the heart, calming a troubled mind and spirit for a child of God. Jesus shows us that God cares, that God always cares, even for the likes of us. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Everything. Jesus has everything to do with us. He wants to teach us, help us, show us, care for us, lead us into situations where we get to teach or help or care for others. For Jesus, the time is always fulfilled and the kingdom of God is always at hand. Jesus is encouraging us to see those truths as well as to see the people around us as allies and helpers, or else those who need the love and the presence of God from us. Jesus comes to church every week, and we get to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him. We get to follow Jesus into the world, seeing the people around us as Jesus sees them. We can do all these things when we allow God's love to fill us, we get to do all of these things as we hear Jesus' invitation to follow. Jesus wants to be part of our lives. God wants to be part of our lives. Jesus wants to share God's love and then wants us to share God's love however we can. That's why he's inviting us. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus is our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, our Teacher, our Friend. Jesus gives us the full picture of what God is like and shows us that power, true power from God, is lived through service and love. That's what Jesus has to do with us. That's what Jesus is showing us. That's the life that Jesus is trying to inspire us to. Let us follow our Lord and walk into God's future in love. Amen. Please rise. Let us celebrate our baptisms as we confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessings on the church, the world, and all creation. Loving God, we pray that your example of teaching with confidence and authority builds up your church in love. May all church leaders and teachers honor your instruction and model your inclusive ways. Lord, in your mercy. Renewing God, we pray for all of creation, that waterways flow clean and clear, natural spaces are protected, and our planet is healed. Let us commit to thoughtful care of the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Justice-seeking God, we pray for those in government and community leadership, that they lead with honor and mindfulness. May they remember their covenants and be upright in their ways. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate God, we pray for all in need, especially those who have known rejection and any who struggle with long-term illness or chronic pain, those without access to safe housing or health care, and any who suffer. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, there are so many people who need your healing presence. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these known to us who need your wholeness. We pray for Judith, Paul, John, and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy. Still speaking, God, we pray for our congregation, for its artists and musicians, for its educators and caregivers, that all gifts are used to care for those in need and to live out your example of accompaniment, gospel witness, and love. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, we remember all teachers, mentors, and companions in our church and in our lives. We lift before you also Judy Paul. We trust that all who have died rest in your loving care. Lord, in your mercy. Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus loves you, and in the power of that love, I bid you now come to his table of grace. Rise. As the body and blood of our Lord Jesus now fills us with strength, we are sent into the world in love and service. So together let's pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you have a wonderful and a splendid week as you go out into the world with hope.
May God's blessing upon us.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.